Well, how fortunate we are to be able to worship here in this lovely place. We've just been singing about that. It's been a blessing worshipping together, and it was wonderful to hear Sarah's testimony this morning that brought us closer to the Lord as well. It's been a great week for myself, and my engagement with people has been really nice. On Wednesday morning during home league, I cast my eyes over to Del playing the piano. And in that moment of looking at her, because we had to knock the key down a bit, just a bit too high for me, so we dropped it down a few. And Del just quickly, her fingers just slid down the piano, and she was able to pick up where we needed to sing from, and all by ear. And I looked at those hands and thought, wow, how many notes and how many tunes have those hands played over 80 years? Maybe you started when you were 10. I don't know. How old were you when you started playing? About 12, yeah. So there's been many, many songs and many, many tunes played. I also thought too about here with sermons, and my two predecessors, so Stephen and Lindley and Scott and Sharon, are all gifted preachers. I'm probably not a gifted preacher. I can do it, but I'm not a gifted preacher. But my predecessors have been gifted preachers. And I think about how many sermons, if we combined all the sermons we've listened to here, how many we've heard over the years. And I thought, I took Del as an example again. I was thinking about you a lot this week. I don't know why. I don't know whether it's a relationship with my mother or what it is, but I worked out that over 80 years, Del has probably sat through 4,160 sermons in 80 years. That's a lot of sermons, isn't it? And how many of those do you think you can remember? Remember the preachers more than the sermons. See, so I'm okay. If I'm not real great at preaching, it's about me. And it always is that. I've heard that a leader, it's not so much about their charisma or what they can do, but it's about their integrity. And so I find solace in the fact that, you don't really remember too many sermons, all right? But I do know there's some sermons that I've remembered over the years, kind of little parts of sermons that sort of, jutted out at you, and you'd remember those. I can remember Commissioner Ian Cutmore speaking once at Mayfield Corps. And I can remember him saying, never ever despise any situation that throws you back into the arms of God. Never despise any situation that throws you back in the arms of God. And as a young woman of 24 back then, I had no idea how much I would have to put that into my life in the years ahead, to never ever despise him when situations have been so difficult and they have thrown you and cast you back into the arms of God. So my sermon today, last week we spoke about Jesus being the lifter of my heads, do you remember? Ah, very good, you remember. But this week I'm going to be talking about Jesus being the light. I love to potter around my house outside. Mowing lawns and gardening is quite therapeutic for me. I have some lovely outdoor plants at home, and they are plants that require partial shade, so they sit under my back awning. I've been worried about them these winter months, especially with not a lot of light. In conversation with my potted plants, now I talk to them, okay? Does anybody else talk to their plants? Oh, thank you, that's good. Do you stroke them and that and touch them? I do sometimes. I get a bit lonely, okay, so I've got to talk to someone. In conversation with my potted plants the other day while watering them, I told them I was quite impressed with their attractive new growth, and especially my stunning new fronds on my ferns that just unravel. You know how they do that from the inside and then they just unravel, and the next morning you come out and they're just there. It was just amazing. So as I was talking to them and then I was watering them, and then I looked at them and I thought, wow, I've never noticed that before. What I saw with all of the plants, with the succulents, with the stems, with the leaves, with the ferns, everything was all going or pointing out in the one direction. And they were all going towards, who said it? The light. the light. And I was really quite impressed. It looked quite nice. It was like all in unison. They were all like, ooh, like, you know, following the light that comes across in that corner of the yard of a morning. We're talking about us being lights of the world this morning. And Jesus said, we are the light of the world. We are a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they will see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The incident with the plants had me ask this question: is my light shining brightly before others? Are people drawn to the light that is within me? Am I giving glory to my Father in heaven? In order for our lights to shine brightly, we need to walk in the light ourselves. 1 John 1, 5-9 reminds us of what happens if we cease to walk in the light. It says, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. And then the next verse tells us of the blessing of walking in the light. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. I was nurtured in a home and church community where the light of God existed. I remember in those environments I was always encouraged from a young age to shine my light and to share my faith. The thing was, it was pretty easy for me to do in the places such as home, church, youth group, junior soldiers, corps cadets, and so on, because everybody else was sharing their light in those spaces as well. I remember being encouraged regularly as a young person to publicly share our light through testimony in meetings and in those open-air meetings we used to have. These experiences were helpful and enjoyable, and shining my light was a pretty natural and relatively easy thing to do alongside everyone else who was doing the same. It wasn't until I was 16 and I went off to business college and then entered the workforce that I realised my view about shining my light was a pretty narrow one. It wasn't long before I realised what it meant to share, to shine my light, especially in the dark places. Now, I don't know whether I was actually taught this way or whether it was the way that I comprehended what I had been taught, but I believed as a young person that we as Christians understood clearly what it meant to walk in the light, and that the others, the non-Christians out there, understood clearly that they were walking in darkness, that they had a sense of their own darkness, that they had a sense of the burden of this dreadful plight. That's what I used to think about people. I think I was in such a protected environment that that's how I used to kind of work it out in my head as a young person growing up. We've received the light. Everybody else out there, outside the church, are walking around in this darkness. The scripture tells us that. So I thought when I got into workplace that sharing my light was going to be pretty easy outside of the church. For starters, people knew how lost they were. People were aware of their darkness. They were hanging out to be changed, so I thought. And all I had to do was, well, shine my light. They would really be attracted to me because, after all, I had Jesus in me. I soon discovered this wasn't the case. In the large part, my non-Christian friends and work colleagues were great people who never would have viewed themselves as walking in darkness. In fact, by all accounts, they were living fulfilled, purposeful, kind, and productive lives. There was nothing about their lives that reflected darkness at all to me. If anyone had have suggested they were walking in darkness to them, that their deeds were dark, that they would have been most offended by that inference. For they were really, really nice people. I soon realised that the darkness the scripture refers to wasn't so much that their life was filled with evil acts of darkness, but it was the absence of light in their lives. that light being Jesus himself, the light of the world. They didn't know Jesus. They didn't know anything about him. That's what their darkness was. So that really started to change things for me and how I approach people in the shining of my light and sharing of my faith. Shining my light was no longer about, well, my life will expose their darkness and they won't be able to resist what I have, which when you think about it, smacks of pride and piety, really. Shining my light became, and has always been since then, about letting people know who the light of the world is. Many of my friends then and now, and many of your friends, our work colleagues, our acquaintances, family members and community people live within the absence of light. For many people, they have no knowledge at all of who Jesus is. With many people, there is no desire for spiritual things. There are people who never ever think about God year in and year out. For that kind of does our head in. Because my waking moments of a morning, as yours would be, are to say, God, thank you for another day. But there's people out there who have no understanding of who God is or that he is the light of the world. It's not even that they have rejected God. We can't even sort of sit back and say they've rejected God. Because they have no understanding of a God in the first place to even reject him. We might say people have resigned to living in spiritual darkness, but they would never identify such a state of being for themselves because they haven't been exposed to the light. Paul spoke of this in Acts 22:9, and those who were with me saw the light, to be sure, he said, but they did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. Paul's account just then, my experience of people, your experiences of people, tell us that people really have no understanding of Jesus. Therefore, it's not only our responsibility to shine our lights by the way we live, but it is our awesome responsibility to tell them about the true source of light, which is Jesus himself. Jesus said, "We are a light. We are a city on a hill that must not be hidden." These are different days. Society is moving further away from things that once identified God, and unfortunately any semblance of God is negatively portrayed through the media. They are very different days for us to shine our light in. This, for me, only magnifies the urgency for us to spread his message of love, not just by our actions or by people watching us, but by actually verbalising who Jesus is and what his love is about. If you're with me on this and you have that sense of urgency and that understanding that people are ignorant these days of the gospel message, of what Jesus means, firstly, we need to be prepared with a couple of things. Firstly, that a vast amount of people have absolutely no understanding of who he is, that there is a spiritual ignorance. We need to be prepared to give an account of who Jesus is. And what I mean by that is personally, we need to apply ourselves to learning how to speak to people about Jesus Christ. We need to sit down and say, you know, work it out, write it out on a bit of paper. If someone were to ask me about Jesus Christ, what is it that I would say to them? These people are ignorant of who Jesus is. I need to let them know who he is. What is the best form of letting him know who he is? I'll give you an example of this. My daughter Jenny met Corey, who was to be her husband in 2 weeks' time. And he had no faith, no understanding of God, little bit, like he went to a Catholic school, but he never had any inclination to even kind of inquire or be inquisitive about God at all. And then he met Jenny and he started to see in her, like she would shine her light, and he started to see in her that there was something different. He would come to my place, and this is the challenge too for parents these days who once or have prayed that God will provide a suitable partner or husband or wife for their children. And Lord, please make sure they're Christian, and please make sure they really love you. And, you know, we have those lists in our prayers. Well, that didn't happen in this case. I've prayed that same prayer. But Corey came into our family, and he got to know me. He saw my light being shined. And a wonderful opportunity came up for Corey where he started to attend Alpha. So these are the sort of things too as well. We need to be more attentive to people's needs like that if we want to tell them about who Jesus is. Maybe you might feel a bit frightened that you can't kind of express that, but there are other avenues where people can learn to understand who Jesus is. So Corey began to go to Alpha with Jenny, and it was just so wonderful to hear him the other day say to me, "Chris, I understand it now." I get emotional about that, but I understand it now. I understand who God is, Chris. It makes sense to me. That's what he said. And then the other day on the phone to me, he said to me, "You know, I pray every morning for you, for me." He prays for me now. You know, that is what shining our light is about, and being proactive about sharing the love of Jesus with people. The second thing we need to be aware of is that we need to be on the ball and understand what we are up against if we are shining our light. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. We need to ensure that we are living in the light. The adversary, the devil, does not want us to shine our lights. He does not want us to tell people about the love of Jesus. We must be aware that shining our light isn't as simple as a little song we used to sing in Sunday school. Do you remember it? "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Don't let the devil it out." It was so cute. "Don't let the devil it out." Well, gee, he does more than wolfing it out. The devil is active. He does not want our family, our friends, our acquaintances, our work colleagues, the people we meet in the community to know or understand about the love of Jesus. So he is active and he is against that work. So we need to be very aware that he might try and blow out our light. But it is very important that we remain in the light, and that source is God himself. Jesus warned us about the harvest. He said, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." And I wonder about that with us this morning. I don't know whether it clicked with you. There was something about it that clicked with me this week about the fact that people out there do not comprehend who God is. They don't have any knowledge of him. We could talk to kids in the street now or at school. They don't know about Jesus. Who's Jesus? They don't hear the stories of Jesus. There is no comprehension. So our strategy has got to be a little bit different. It's more than us just saying, "I'm going to shine my light. I'm a Christian. I wear a Salvation Army uniform," or "all the guys know I don't drink. They know I don't smoke. They know I go to church." It's got to be more than that. If we're really urgent about the fact that people need to come to understand the love of Jesus, it's got to be deeper than that and more urgent than that. Albert Osborne in song 626 asks this question. You'll know this song very well. "But how shall they hear if the preacher forbear or lack in compassionate zeal?" I looked up the word forbear. Forbear means to hold oneself back, to leave alone. So I'll ask that question differently that Albert Osborne asked. But how shall people, our families, our neighbours, our work colleagues, the regular people we engage with every single day, and it was great to hear, I'm not sure of your name, but you prayed this morning. Ken, that's right. You make the lighthouses, don't you? That's right. And I love to hear in your prayer, you know, about the people in the community that you want to share your faith with. That's what it's all about. So the question is, but how shall people, our families, our neighbours, our work colleagues, the regular people we engage with every day, how shall they hear if you and I hold ourselves back if we forbear? Or what if we lack in compassionate zeal? Compassion, the word compassion, is a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate their suffering. Zeal is enthusiastic diligence. That's another word for zeal. But how shall they hear if the preacher forbear or lack in compassionate zeal? I don't want to lack in compassionate zeal. I want to be able to alleviate the suffering of those who do not know Jesus. Albert Osborn also provides an answer to that. If we've kind of got a little bit slack, if our light's got a little bit dim, if we need God to rekindle that zeal, you know, if we've kind of just started to rest on our laurels a little bit and think, oh, I'm just shining my light, they know who I am. I occasionally just say to them, yeah, I'll pray for you. Or occasionally just slip them a nice little card or something. That, all that stuff's great, but that is not going to get people into the kingdom of God. That is not going to get them into heaven. We need to be actively pursuing and preaching and telling them about the love of Jesus because they are ignorant and do not know his message. Albert Osborn says, and he provides this answer, what if we are like that? What if we've become a bit slack or our light has got a bit dim? He says, O Saviour of men, touch my spirit again and grant that thy servant may be intense every day as I labour and pray, both instant and constant for thee. That's our prayer this morning. O Saviour of men, touch my spirit again and grant that thy servant may be intense every day as I labour and pray, both instant and constant for thee. You are the light of the world. You are a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Amen.